Hi everyone, you're listening to the Vialucci Podcast, uncensored and completely unedited discussions about life and everything in it. We hope you enjoy the show.
We should really start a different show, but I've got to get it out. What's the film? Not that one.
Window River.
The other film we laugh at. The other film we laugh at is showing in the Piccadilly.
The Room?
The Room, that's yeah, it, yeah. I contacted him to see if he'll come on because they're doing the film. Either so it's like
we started well.
No, it's one of the worst films in the world, but it's good. But they're showing at the Prince Charles Theatre. Yeah. I saw his face up there, so I just contacted. I got his email address. I thought I'll contact him, see if he wants to come on.
You've got his email address, okay? Yeah.
That's
well,
awesome.
If you want to hang out, spend a morning hanging out with, in my opinion, allegedly, a functioning heroin addict. Yeah. you know, you've already got one here. So. Hey, morning, everyone. Hey,
when are you going to Amsterdam?
Next week. Start the podcast.
How long are you in Amsterdam for?
5 days.
And you're going on your own?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's a proper thing to do, to go on his own.
I've never been before. I always wanted to go. Okay.
And we'll have to do a Vialucci podcast trip over there.
Yeah, that would be amazing. In one of the cafes.
Yeah.
Having some brownies.
Talking with coffee, I said there's something about coffee. Do you know what I found out the other day? I just Googled, I was looking up something about coffee, anyway, caffeine and coffee. And it said the first coffee house in England was 1601 or 6 to 1617, they weren't exactly sure, by a Turkish fella.
We all look at
Karim. I thought a Turkish fella.
Yeah.
No, I thought you'd be a lot of quite proud pride of the. It said come up as a Turkish guy.
Okay.
I thought, but 16, that age? Yeah. That year?
But we've already talked about coffee before, haven't we?
No, it's caffeine in gyms. That's what we're talking about. But get this, right? So you know the coffee, you know instant coffee? You know, like just a powder of coffee.
I'm aware, yes. Mm.
There's a company specifically that puts the fake coffee smell in there. They inject it in.
Oh.
It's not a real smell because it's just powder. It's dry powder. Mm. So there's an actual company, and that's just what I think is in the East Midlands. And they actually put the smell of coffee into the coffee. So there's no, it doesn't, otherwise it's just powder.
I mean, I drink it. If it's not like coffee, look like coffee.
You know,
coffee,
you punch it, you get that smell. That's injected in. Fuck, you can't trust nothing.
I suppose it's freeze-dried, isn't it?
Yes, it doesn't smell. So that's a fake. But you know when you go, oh, no, it's not a fake smell. I want to know it's a real smell.
Mm.
Anyway, so that's my little coffee thing.
How's everyone morning going?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well, did you want to make a note about the royal family?
Yeah.
So a couple of weeks ago we did the show
Yeah,
on
we did the royal
Royals.
Family and I...
You wanted
I don't
to make
know,
a correction.
I wanted to make a correction. Also, I listened back and I was like, oh, no, it is very pro Harry and Meghan, isn't it?
Well, it's not pro, but, it's just telling the truth. It's just laying it out. Yeah.
I know. But I also wanted to be like, okay, so... I get where they're coming from with the book and everything. And I stand by my opinions that it must have been really difficult for Harry. But then I was kind of thinking, everyone has a story to tell. But, you know, he's also telling his brothers and his dad's story as well without their being able to put their story out afterwards, you know, because obviously they're a very private family. And privacy is such, what's the word?
Well, this is why he needs to come out and make his YouTube reply. Let's go, bro, I read the book. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I still love you. Mm. We're still bros.
I know, but they...
Call me, yeah?
I mean, Harry's kind of sort of doing what the paparazzi have been doing, you know, exploiting...
Have you been watching Fox News?
I know.
Since I've last seen you.
I know. But like...
He doesn't say anything that anybody can go against. And as I said to you on the show, there's nothing in there that's nasty. There's nothing that tabloid spitefulness. There's nothing in there other than him saying, this is what happened to me. Mm. He doesn't say that person there and that person there. He says, these are the things that happened. Anyone can come out and say the opposite, but they won't.
Yeah.
Mainly because there's nothing to say against. At no point in those hours, I think the audiobook's like 10 hours or something. Mm. At no point did I suddenly realise most of the way in, oh, he hasn't really attacked them. Like, it's not that. It's just somebody that's every generation just doesn't fit in with that family.
Yeah.
And that's quite an extreme family.
Yeah.
So there's nothing... it's just him saying, this is what happened in my life. He didn't say, well, and anyway, and on this person, you don't know what she's like, which is what the tabloids do, this and that, and twisting it. It's just him talking. So that's just his story. He's not attacking anyone. Anyone else could bring out their book, but it won't. It'll be brought out by a PR company.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
But you didn't get, what was it? I thought you got something wrong.
Yeah. I said Meghan's mum was putting out the tweets, but it's actually Meghan's half sister, I think, was putting out the tweets about her. So sorry, Meghan's mum, you're a beaut. I love you.
It was sad that in the book when he was saying about Meghan, the dad wasn't, you know, he was a bit of a wrong. He was selling the stories, and there was other things involved. And you understand people are poor and they got any money, and then snakes come along and they're at the wean you and tell you, don't worry, we're just going to say this, not that, and here's a load of money, and there being something else that they didn't want to say. But
we're giving you the choice, the chance to put your side of the story.
Yeah, are you sure? Yeah. Oh yeah, don't worry. Yeah. Okay. But then she has to actually phone him up to say, like, did you, he definitely wouldn't have done this, but did you say it? And he went, no, I would never say it. And then it came out, he did a lot. And he's thinking, so, you know what I mean? What I was going to say, talking of stories online that I don't know too much about in terms of Meghan's family, what you want to talk about, Charles?
Well, I was wondering, has there been anything in the news lately this
week? Can I say,
it's fairly quiet.
I've heard about all the Israel-Palestine, right? I wasn't educated. Okay, lived on the streets, then I've worked into business. So I don't know what's going on other than I hear certain things. What is the conflict?
Right, well, get those eggshells ready because we're going to do some soft walking.
Right, I know nothing. I don't know who.
Okay. Woo, okay. Yeah. We are, okay. So
Israel's a bigger military power.
Are we going to touch on the subject?
I am. Just explain to me what it is. I don't understand.
So I'm not going to say it. Yeah. I don't have a controversial opinion, to be honest. For once, actually, it's fairly middle of the road. Okay, so yes, there is a long history between the two. I mean, Israel has, as we know it, as a nation, came into existence, I believe, in 1948, after the Second World War.
Oh, right.
It was an official sort of homeland,
right? You know, from where though? Where were the people before?
A lot of people came from Europe after the
Jewish people,
after the Holocaust,
basically. So what was it before? What was Israel before? Or was it part of?
It's part of the Ottoman Empire for a long time.
But I mean, 1920 before the war.
Yeah, I believe. I think it was still.
Oh, really? Still
empire, and then nations before that. Okay. It has been the ancestral homeland of Jewish people for a very, you know, for 2,000 years. It's where Moses led them from Pharaoh, Pharaoh, and you know, across the desert. It's supposed to be the promised land, the chosen land. Blah blah blah. So they've moved in. Well, they moved in, set it up as a nation state as we recognize it now.
Yeah,
and they have been having on and off wars with all their Arab neighbors basically ever since. With like Syria and Jordan and Egypt, all the countries around them, actually. Lebanon. They have been occupying several regions, I think since the Yom Kippur War, I think since 73. So that would be 30, 40 years. Like the West Bank, in particular, in Gaza. what happened last week was pretty awful.
No, Evan, what's the friction with Palestine?
They have been, well, because they are being occupied by Israel, and in quite a brutal occupation. And
So Israel are going into they're into Palestine.
Yes, but Israel don't recognize Palestine as a country, so they just say that they have claimed land. Israel technically doesn't recognize. It has a dotted line. Some maps, it actually has a dotted line because actually they don't recognize firm borders.
Right. Sort of like Trump when he shows the pictures of things and just draws.
This is what, you know, so they sort of have, unfortunately, have sort of porous borders sometimes. Right, and they do keep claiming land. I mean, you get all this thing with the settlements. And the settlements are a big area of contention because Israel is just pushing its border forward and just claiming land, clearing off people who've, you know, off, you know,
and are they forever. The bigger military power?
Yes.
Okay. Right.
They are a very, very strong military power. You wouldn't think from what happened last week.
Yeah.
But and they are supported very financially and with, you know, top Western line military, so particularly by America. Okay, yeah. Right. They get America give them. We get stuff. This was the case a while ago. so it may have changed. We get their stuff, like, I think it's 5 to 10 years later.
Right.
So they're top of the line mm-hmm. stuff. They'll sell it on to us or share the technology with us to produce. So stuff like the Apache helicopters, you might have heard an Apache helicopter, you know, the things that swoop around. We only got those a while back. It was sort of about 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, during the Iraq War, during Iraq and Afghanistan, because they sort of held that back. Israel does get that stuff straight away. So they get top of the line, all the cool gizmos and gadgets. I mean, and then what happened on Saturday was...
And the wall, there's a wall there, isn't there?
There is a wall. So they've walled off this occupied territory.
Who built the wall?
The Israelis.
Okay. So
it's called the Peace Wall, I believe.
Who are they... But to keep out the Palestinians?
Yes.
But aren't they the one that's encroaching on Palestine?
Well, they are occupying.
So they're occupying, but put up a wall for themselves as well?
Yes, because people in Palestine have been attacking them and pushing back.
Right.
And
it's a security measure.
Yes, it's called a peace wall, but it is a security wall. And it was held up as being a big thing. And it had, for quite a while, attacks and, terrorist attacks and the attacks from Palestine had reduced significantly. So it was actually kind of doing something, because it's like a military thing. It's very strange. Have you seen the way... you're going through these cages, and then you have to go through several
cages.
Yeah.
Oh, like World War Z.
Yeah.
My references are
a bit.
I'm a dumb because I thought that as well. That's where my head. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's kind of like,
the ball as well.
Well, and so it's very odd. And they have all these different things, and you have to go through these checkpoints and scanners and stuff. And that's just to get to, and people just travel through it every day to get to work. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Because you've got to get a job, got to go to work.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So then what happened was, in a nutshell, what happened?
Was a huge, large-scale coordinated attack from Palestine, motivated by how Palestinians see it as, oppression. Because basically they're walled in. They have everything controlled. There are limits on stuff like food and medicine going in. And unemployment's massively high. Economic opportunities.
They don't
have it. It's effectively, people use the term, it's an open air prison, and it's the largest prison.
I heard Hamas is more or less their political structure, although they've only been voted
in
once.
Isn't it just a small group of, just the Hamas and not the rest of Palestine that, because it's, isn't it?
Well, it's controlled by a terrorist group, basically, Hamas.
They are a radical group.
They were voted in, but 15 years ago.
They are a political wing. Yeah. So it's sort of a bit like, not really, but a bit like Sinn Féin, for instance, or like the DUP, Democratic Unionist Party in Northern Ireland. So they are sort of the political wing of a militant organisation. Yeah. More so, they are probably the only form of government or sort of social structure.
And you've probably got different fractions within that, from extreme to we do just want a political party.
Yes, unfortunately, it seems that the more moderate voices don't have a lot of traction, from what's been happening, it's been a complete mess. It's a very difficult situation, because I think we like to try and narrativize, i.e. sort of create a narrative out of these events. You know, we're good guys, bad guys, who's the heroes, who's the villains, we like to kind of have those. I see the situation and I think there's no good guys here, really. I think, the attack from Hamas was appalling, and, they're butchering babies in the crib. I mean, that's...
It's disgusting.
It's beyond evil, really.
Yeah.
The response from Israel is awful, and a crime against humanity. Imposing mass disciplinary action or whatever, mass action against the population is, again, I mean, they're not going out to sort of... they're not making a lot of effort to go out and target Hamas. They are imposing these things on the entire nation.
Like showing your might, rather.
And I suppose we do that as well sometimes with sanctions and stuff. We do sanctions, you know, in Iraq that led to starvation and death and stuff, you know. So, I mean, we are guilty.
So, have Israel gone in then already?
They are. I saw on the news this morning they live footage of dudes getting into the back of armored personnel carriers and tanks. Oh, okay. So, they are.
But it's always the people aren't the problem, is it? It's the ones at the top. It's all the people at the top that want these political games of power and struggle backwards and forwards. But either side, you get the people on either side that just want to go to work, bring up their kids and feed them. That's it. It's all the ones on top. Look what they did. Let's go in there. Look what they go. Can't we just stop? No, because power and
they've gotten to this cycle of sort of tit for tat, yeah, retaliations, and you know. Like, Palestine will fire off a couple of rockets with Israel. Israel will fire off a lot more rockets back.
And your story is going over media, you know, telling each side what the other side's doing, if it's true.
You know, they'll have some riots or some confrontations. Some kids will throw some stones. They'll shoot back at them, you know. And it's this whole tit-for-tat kind of thing. Mm. I mean, I've been called a Nazi by everyone recently over the last few days.
Good for having any opinion on either side.
Well, because I said, I don't think that we should wipe out all the Palestinians and just flatten the land and kill them all.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should wipe out all the Jewish people and wipe them out, kill them all and clear the land. And, you know. So I just think, I don't know what the answer is.
You're not wrong in thinking that. I
mean, well, that's the thing. I've been called a fascist and all type of stuff and evil and, you know. But I don't know what the solution is. But I, in my hippy-dippy lefty brain, it's just like I don't see that more violence is going to fix it.
Yeah.
However, what do you do? You know, like the reality is geopolitical realities are, you have something like that happen to you. I mean, they're saying it's the Israel 9/11. And I think that's probably quite an apt analogy. But, you know, what do you do? Well, you have to, you know, they're going to react. They're going to do something. Because what happens? Well, maybe it happens next week. You don't do anything. What, you're supposed to just take it on the chin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically.
Fight fire with fire,
but then, that's the problem, though, isn't it?
And what are you attacking?
Well, you'd hope for a proportion. Yeah. I mean, Israel does have the ability to completely decimate and flatten the whole place, you know, if they wanted to. You'd hope for a proportional response from them because they are, it's like Mr. Bean versus Mike Tyson in the ring. You know what I mean? It's really unfair. And you know that Mike Tyson could just absolutely just pick him up and snap him in half if he wanted to. Mike in his prime, let's say.
Does Israel have the... Do they come under the international law, like the rest of the European Union and all that? Are they under that? Do they have to abide by, not torture and... You know,
yes, they are kind of...
Half foot in, half foot out.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really apply to a lot of people. I mean, we did awful things in, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan, and people went unpunished. So, you know, what's your average drone strike? You know, your average drone strike with the collateral damage. We talked about that a while ago, weren't we? With the collateral damage, how many people did they kill? Did we kill to get to like?
Yeah, I think it was like 1,200 people to get to sort of 18 people. That's kill 1,200 because just the bombs just obliterate everyone.
Yeah. Because it was one of those things where people coming together and then they get, and then it was a wedding party and then there'd be 70, 80 people.
When we worked on the UN, I think I must have mentioned this before, we worked on the UN, they have like a youth version, youth version. And the guy from England worked on it. And he said, the kids out there, he said, they don't like the sun. Because when it's sunny is when the missiles come out of the clouds. He said, when it's rainy and cloudy, but they've grown up in it. So it's not ironic. When they see the sun, they think, oh, Jesus Christ, this is where the missiles come through. When it's raining and sunny, it's raining and cloudy, they don't. And I thought, oh, God, imagine if you're like 2 years old, so you grow up going, oh, God, it's sun.
Hating the sun. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. That's really bad.
What was it? I think it was Snowden when he leaked all that stuff about PRISM, which was the... the monitoring program or whatever that would look for the one that looked for keywords. A lot of those were about weather, cloud, weather. These are all like keywords that got flagged, and it was because people were like, "Okay, cool, it's cloudy. We can do stuff. They're not going to be drones."
How did the Palestinians get in? Was it like a mass people just across the border? Because with all those security things in place,
it was a whole thing. They had some people with microlights.
Oh, like
so they were like flying over. I saw footage of they broke open the wall. They knew. I mean, they've obviously been training and practicing this for a very long time. They knew all the weak points. They actually had bulldozers smash through points.
Oh, literally. And then
people were piling in with cars and 4x4s and dune buggy things.
Really? But they didn't know that was coming.
Well, this is the thing.
With all
the
security and Iron Dome and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a big security threat, especially with their new Prime Minister who was elected, you know, on the thing of stability and safety and, you know.
And the build-up of it. You'd see the build-up, surely.
Apparently they were training. They literally had set sort of buildings, you know, they had, and they were doing training bits going through all
these. And you don't see that on somebody that you basically know you're half at war with.
Well,
with all the security, you don't realise, oh, look, there's 1,000... Jeeps getting ready to do something.
Well, it's like in this country. I mean, we do we have all these security laws and all these, you know, all these departments monitoring, supposed to be monitoring everything, and yet we still have
Cameras everywhere. Think of the cameras everywhere. Oh, I've got burgle. Yeah. All right. So, what do you want us to do? What about 1,000 cameras on the streets? Well, that's not for you. That's for the politicians.
They're not going to stop you getting stabbed. Honestly, because they're it's terrible. Look at that. Dude's getting stabbed on the camera.
Yeah, got killed on camera. Well, we'll get him. Well, I'd prefer not to be killed. Do they stop crimes?
Yeah. No.
It makes us look good afterwards.
We have a grainy picture of someone of a human with a face.
Yeah, but why is it when personally you've got these surveillance that can pick anybody out, but when like somebody just gets mugged, not even looking, it's not worth it. That's not for you. You pay for them, but they're for more politicians and rich people.
So that's the thing is you know, Jesus. You know, as I said, you would hope for a proportional response from Israel, and that's where it's happening now. But then you could argue that, you know, this wasn't a proportional response from Palestine, I don't think. I think you can argue, you can make arguments for using violence sometimes in extreme circumstances, yeah? And I do think that, like, you know, for instance, I got a lot of family who were, you know, from Ireland, got a lot of Irish heritage, and I have my own opinions about the Irish Republican movement, and I do believe that Ireland should be unified, and I do believe that the Irish Republican Army do have a legitimate cause there, especially with the history that's happened in Ireland, for instance. I'm more comfortable talking about Ireland because I've got the heritage there, so I'm more comfortable there. And it's apt. The analogies there are apt. But, like, I do think that there are, you know, there are legitimate... You can make it for some action, and I do think that, you know, possibly, it sounds a bit, but possibly targeting military personnel or, you know, government people, whatever, you can make an argument for that. But I do, you know, and I don't agree with a lot of what the IRA did, because they, you know, when you are indiscriminately targeting civilians, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you can try and have legitimate targets. And what I saw last week was awful. And again, had it been, and I felt very differently, had they gone after, there are lots of military targets, there's lots of legitimate, you know, targets you could possibly go, you could make more of an argument for going after, and that wasn't the case, and they were just after, you know, carnage.
Really.
Well, it's like with the Al-Qaeda and the 9/11, they can't actually fight the way, so they just think, well, we're just going to give you a bloody nose, we're just going to embarrass you more than anything. They're not going to go in and take out the army, but we can blow up something that's iconic. So I think they're just coming in and causing carnage is the point.
Well, also these, I think some of it's a lot of these movements. I don't know an awful lot about Hamas and their motivations, you know, in closed rooms behind closed doors. But I know, like, for instance, the thinking behind, there's a couple of guys, I wish I could remember his name. There was a French guy, you know, who was a big thinker around sort of terrorism and stuff. And, you know, a lot of this theory, you know, sort of guerrilla groups and militia stuff, a lot of this is trying to, they know that there is going to be a backlash. I mean, and sometimes they want that, and it's an acceleration sort of thing. And I do think, my own opinion, I do think that part of this is to create an uprising, is to instigate an entire
to make yourself important. If you're not doing nothing and no one in the world hears about you, nothing's going to get solved. But if you think, well, we have to put our name in the media, basically, again, and get talks going, I mean, you have to do something to make it, yourself important.
There is about that. And I do think that some of the actions in Iraq were to do were that, it was you know, ISIS and stuff. It was tried to be so brutal and so awful that it did make the papers. You know what I mean? It was,
and you have to talk
trying
to
get them. Headlines. Yeah. It was trying to get headlines and trying to be shocking. You know, so there certainly is an element to that. But I do think that, I mean, they knew what was going to happen. You know, they did that attack. They had that attack plan. They knew that there would be a response, and they knew that, you know, that the Israelis would come in, and they'd probably do a land, you know, land invasion, which is what they do, yeah. they're probably going to do, and occupy, and it would cause tens, hundreds of thousands of deaths. And I think on some level, they possibly wanted that, because it would create such an awful situation that they think everyone would rise up behind. Yeah. And terrorist groups, and groups were, you know, protest group stuff, lots of them think like this. They say, oh, well, you know, the people will rise up. It will become so bad that they'll you know, we'll lead the way and we'll overthrow them and create a new society or whatever, you know, overthrow our oppressors.
But Israel going in, it's just going to be one of those, like, even with the British and American armies, you go, okay, well, you're going in, right, okay, got to go in, yep. What are you going in for? Don't just steam and start firing bullets. Like, what is the end goal? Because you get a feeling, no, it's just revenge. Just, we've got to show that we're giving revenge.
That's good. Revenge is not a solid foundation for foreign policy, basically.
It's a childish reaction, really, to go, what are you going in to get? Nothing. We've got to go and do something. Well, that's nothing.
Yeah, you've got to be seen to react.
You're stoking a fire.
That's what I'm saying. You've got to be seen to react. And this is the thing, is it creates, like, you know, it's tit for tat. They're going to go in and occupy.
But if you're mature, actually, like we were saying the other day when we were talking about mutual assured destruction, you know, the pact just to make sure no nuclear bombs go off, and listening to an American politician who had to work on things, like, what would happen if we did get a nuclear bomb over here, like, to America? And he said, which is mature, he said, well, if somebody did drop a bomb over here, you don't start flying bombs back like Skynet and Terminator, because then everyone's dead. You said, you suck up the bomb, and you basically go, right, now we're not going to attack you back. Now we're going to have the world in unison close you off because of what you did. There's no point throwing a bomb back. That's what a child would do. So I wonder, with, like, Israel, and if they did do that, go, yeah, what you did is absolutely disgusting and horrific, and we're not going to steam in with military warfare, because now we're grown up, and now we're going to just make you look terrible and say, now we've grown up, we're going to do these things and put these things in place, whether it's security or whether we're going to put a military base in here or there, because we're not just going to attack you. We're not sure. What you did didn't work. We're not going to pile back and kill everyone. And then you can go, oh, look what they did. And now you can raise money to get more terrorists. But that takes a mature mind. So no, we're not going to steam in, enough of this now. But what you've done, we're going to let it seep into the world, what you did that day. And now we're going to put things in place to make sure it doesn't happen again. Not, oh, listen, military in. Oh, well done. That's a lesson. Well, now in 50 years, they did something again. And here we go. Because nobody can just go, they're not mature, the politicians. We're just going to suck it up and let it seep into the rest of the world, what you did. And then let's just corner you off. No, we're sending in with machine guns, and we don't know what we're going in there for.
I think some of it is, in my opinion, the mindset of Israel, and that is kind of a siege mentality, you know, that's how they perceive it, I think.
Yeah, but it's always,
and they perceive it as they are defending the Jewish, I think some people, not all, but some people, it is connected, like, the state of Israel is, you know, the Jewish state. It is the heartland, the homeland of Jewish people on the planet, and it, you know, and it's surrounded by people who don't want it to be there. And so they have this mindset, I believe. And I have spoke to quite a few Israelis for some reason. I don't know, when I'm traveling, I talked to quite a few. Some of them were all right. I met a couple of very nice couples, actually, along the way. And they do have that, it's that siege mentality. They have this idea that, you know, everyone, for some reason, everyone's kind of going to come and kill them at any second. Yeah. And they believe that they are there to defend the nation and the race. And I think a lot of people, not all, but a lot of people, that is intertwined. The state of Israel and Jewish people, that's the one and the same. Yeah. This is why you get into a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of people as well will say, you can't get very funny about criticizing the state of Israel. Say that it is anti-Semitic, for instance, to criticize it. You know, the policies of a nation, I don't think so. That's nonsense. I mean, I can say that I think From what I know about the Nigerian healthcare system, I think, well, the Nigerian government possibly needs to improve their healthcare system.
Mm.
That's not a racist comment. That's just saying you are not doing a great job here. Possibly you could do better. You know,
I think a lot of it, you've just got a load of rich, powerful people at the top that the war doesn't affect them one way or the other. It's just like moving chess pieces. They still float up in the clouds. Nothing hurts them. They're still big buildings and fancy cars, and it's all the people killing themselves in between for their bloody chess games. Mm. If they had to go to war, the people at the top had to go. Who was that famous? It was the trade unionist, the famous one, got arrested and he ran as a politician while he was in jail. Eugene V. Debs, yeah. And he did the speech and he said, it's never the poor people that want the war. It's always poor people going to war because for the rich people throughout history. Yeah. You know, so the poor people just want to go to work and bring up their kids.
Yeah. Mm.
Everything else is media and power and politicians and money and, oh, it made me look bad in my country. And then they spread that to the media. The media tell you things to make you angry, so then you get angry. Most people are just in a room. You're all the same. You're exactly the same. They even said this on radio the other day when they're talking about the Trump people and like left-wing people. He said, if you move the stations out of the way, you actually all believe in the same thing. Yeah. You want a safe school.
Mm.
You want a decent police force. You want clean streets. You go, you actually agree on your normal people. You want exactly clean streets, the food.
You want to be left alone. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But when you go, ideally, look what they did.
Ideally, left alone as much as possible.
Yeah, look what they did. Look what he did to me. Look, you go, but you actually strip all the politics away. You want exactly the same things.
Mm.
The bit in the middle that makes you angry is the media. And that's then the politicians tell them.
Oh, well, there's a whole industry there. I mean,
well, the media's money now. It's a business. Yeah. It's designed. I mean, it's happening in England. You know, a lot of these. What's his name? Fox News. What's his name? Who owns it?
Oh, Murdoch.
Yeah. Oh, well, we've done that in America. That looks quite good.
Mm.
Let's have some little stations in England. And he does things about, oh, we think there should be like free speech on both sides. It's too left wing. Really? You've got a political idea. It's not about friction in advertising. Oh, no, I think we need a more diverse.
So GB News, which is
I wasn't going to say the name.
Well, all these far right news channels. Yeah. Like,
how many of them have been fined and
well, they're going through a whole thing there right now, obviously, because everyone's getting fired
after the first year or so of being in business. And that they're all loss making. Businesses, like none of them make money, losing money.
I was arguing on their YouTube channel and got all my comments blocked. So right, they're okay. Bastion of free speech.
Yeah.
That
happens quite a lot though.
Yes. Oh, they weren't blocking anyone. So it was, it was saying, hey, we need to round up all the foreign, you know, this is why we need to murder all the boat people trying to come over here, because they'll come over here and they'll just start murdering all our babies in the crib. And that's what they want to do. And I'm like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're an idiot.
And they always go about the left being fragile. They're more fragile than anything. They can't take anything. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Is I don't know. There was a Free Palestine march over the weekend, Saturday. And there were arrests. And and the Home Secretary in this country has said that if you display a Palestinian flag or a Free Palestine thing, that is an arrestable offence. You can be arrested for that.
Just what is an incitement to, that it's supposed to be inciting people?
That's
a bit of bloody extreme. You can't wave a flag.
Yes, for a war that's happening or conflict that's happening.
Yes, it was a little step down, wasn't it? Not can't show a flag.
It's awful. We can't hold up. I mean, during the coronation, they were arresting people for holding up a blank piece of paper.
Yeah,
I mean,
what? Well, yeah, it's like in Russia where they.
What do you mean by a blank piece of paper?
There was someone who was arrested. People were holding up.
What does that mean?
Because people were holding up things, saying "Not my king."
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm so out of my depth on this conversation. I'm not going to lie. I've literally just been sitting here.
Well, it started.
I've been blowing very hard.
I know. Literally, everyone else in the room. I am so stupid. I have been going on the news. I'm not going to lie. I've been going on the Daily Mail because it's great at giving news. But then I keep getting distracted by other things on there. And then I've been listening.
It's a piss take. So, when the Russia-Ukraine thing happened, people were...
Yeah.
You know, they would arrest you for nothing. Mm-hmm. We didn't really used to do that.
Mm.
But they would be doing like YouTube videos and things and holding things up saying pro Ukraine or don't kill or whatever. And people being arrested. And then they realised that they were sort of mocking the soldiers, because if they put the camera on, the soldiers are immediately looking at them. So they just started holding up anything and getting arrested for it. And eventually it got to, right, there's the Russian soldiers. I'm just going to hold up a blank piece of paper and somebody come and grab them. They go, there's not even anything on the paper.
Because it may have, so there's a possibility that the blank piece of paper
that makes no sense
might have something disagreeable.
But they're sort of in there going, right, I'm just going to hold up this to show us getting arrested. Yeah. Look, right, come with us. So now they start doing it over here. It's just like, you can't show anything. If you're showing something, it must be bad.
That doesn't make any sense. My brain is just going, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't understand.
Well, it's just highlighting how bad it is that I'm just literally going to show you a piece of paper, knowing they're going to grab me for just doing this action. And they would grab. Yeah. Think, come on, don't, you must know. Use your common sense. I know that you're not allowed to speech, but it is a blank piece of paper. Yeah. But they can't. They've been given orders. Camera, warning sign. Oh, they're holding something out. Just grab them. Nothing on it. Doesn't matter.
Can I do something fun right now? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Please feel free to change the subject.
The conversation. Because obviously, I did go on the Daily Mail today to find out a bit more about, you know, Israel and everything. But then immediately got distracted by this TikToker that brought out this quiz that's saying, if you get... I've got on my little list here.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you brought in homework. Go on.
If you score at least 6 out of 8 on this general quiz, you're above average. You've got above average general knowledge.
TikTok?
No, yeah. So it was on the Daily Mail.
So you're halfway.
Do you mind if I go through the questions?
Go for it.
Okay, all right.
Because sometimes I'm proud not to. You shouldn't be proud of either, but sometimes I'm proud about not knowing stuff. But I who want Big Brother in, 2017?
So what is it? The six... general.
All right, so there's 8 questions, and if you get more than 6, or you're 6 or above, you've got above average general knowledge.
Right, okay.
And I'm not going to tell you how many I got because it's so embarrassing. So here we go. All right, what is the highest number that you can roll with a 2 standard dice?
12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, yeah.
Okay, cool. In which continent is most of Egypt?
Africa.
Perfect.
I suppose because there's a little bit in, I suppose, in the
Middle East. But I was trying to guess. It can't be that. It must be another one. No, wrong then.
Yeah, I think there's a trick.
It can't be that then, yeah.
Like a twist to it. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm just like,
where's the dice one? I thought, well, they both got 6 on them.
I got that one.
Right, yeah.
And I got the continent one. In what part of the body is the femur bone?
Leg.
The leg.
Yeah, I got that one. What is the biggest planet in our solar system?
Jupiter.
I did not get that one right. I get really confused with the smallest and the largest ones. I was like, Mercury? Yeah, I got that really wrong. What country was Nelson Mandela president of?
South Africa.
Perfect. I'm not going to tell you. I was on the train doing this.
What was the island? What was his president's... What island?
Mauritius?
No, the island, the prison he was jailed in.
Oh, what's it called?
Rikers Island.
It's New York.
I was seeing some of the comments underneath the Daily Mail, and it was just like, ask any under 30s on the street and see how many they get. And
Robin Island.
And I was that was it. Right, I am those.
Was Robin Island the jail? Was that the island he was on?
I think
it might have been the jail that was on Robin Island.
I think, wasn't he... Yes, it was sort of... It was his...
It was probably the prison on Robin Island, therefore called Robin Island.
Okay. But I think it was sort of exiled kind of thing as well. You know what I mean? It was like, not like they did to Napoleon, but it was kind of thing.
He was technically a terrorist. Like he was setting
bombs. That's what he was arrested for.
Yeah, go on.
In what year did World War I start?
1914.
14, yeah.
I actually got this one right. I was so happy with
myself.
What
was it to? 18 or 19?
18.
18.
Yeah, I was so happy. All right, and this one, so I did not get this one right because I get really confused with pyramids.
Oh,
how many triangular faces does a square-based pyramid have?
There's a square-based 4.
How did you know that?
4, but what? Yeah, it's 4.
How did you know?
Is it 4?
How did you know?
Because it's a square base, so it has to have 4.
I was just like...
But what did you think it was, though? Were you thinking 3 because of the pyramid?
Like, so triangular 3.
I was trying to figure out what it was.
But the answer's in the...
I was trying to figure out what it was. And I was like, there's a square.
The answer's in
the triangle 3 because it says square and triangle. So
what was that question people always used to say about what was the... they say what falls...
No, it's fine.
What weighs more, a ton of pillows or a ton of concrete? Yeah.
You know
what?
And
the answer is a ton of ether. Yeah. A ton.
You know what? My brain is the worst. The whole way here, I said triangle, and in my head, I was thinking rectangle.
You thought too hard. I think a lot of these things you think too hard.
I also, there's no rectangles on the spirit.
Yeah, those questions about what weighs more, a ton of feathers
this
or a ton of concrete.
Oh, my coffee. I swear to God. Oh my God. I'm
there were some other questions.
It's Sunday morning. Like, you know, yeah.
But, okay, all right. Sorry about that. Yeah, of course there's four. Oh, my God, I'm an idiot. All right, I got this wrong. What's the biggest animal that's ever lived on Earth?
Is it specific, the word animal?
Yeah.
It's not mammal or anything.
You
could go blue whale.
Yeah, it's the blue whale.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
I was going to think dinosaur, but I thought mammal or animal.
Well, I was thinking, I think they're bigger.
Diplodocus.
I was thinking, I mean, Jason Stratham fought the megalodon, and that was pretty big.
What's the megalodon?
Megalodon, what's the megalodon?
That's a giant.
Oh, the fish, shark.
Bloody great shark.
Oh, right,
I saw the trailer. Okay. I saw the trailer for the sequel. He was on a little jet ski with a samurai sword.
Done. I'm in.
Yeah, sold. Yeah. Honest to God.
Is that the
sold.
Most effective thing?
Yeah,
what, not a
and
gun?
The shark's like the size of a mountain.
Tank,
a mountain.
Oh, right.
It's a prehistoric thing.
What's it feeding on?
Doesn't matter. You're thinking too much about it.
I'm so annoyed with myself about the triangle of faces one. I really am. I can't believe the whole way here. I was like, why is this not making any sense to me? Oh, okay. The coffee's kicked in and I'm ready to go.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. The one,
hi, everyone.
I remember failing on this.
Let's start again.
One of the questions was, what do cows drink? And I went, milk. Yeah. No, they drink water. They give milk. And you go, oh, right, yeah, but your brain doesn't.
And
the other one was, what do you put in a toaster? And you go, toast. You go,
no,
you put bread in it. Yeah. But I remember getting caught out on them years ago. I thought, oh, right, yeah. But it's just the way those people with brain things. Well, so hang on, what was TikTok to do? You said Daily Mail.
Oh, yeah. So obviously I was trying to look at the news stories and all the really big news stories out there in Israel and everything.
Yeah.
I was really trying to go onto those.
Yeah.
But then I got distracted by this TikTok general
but
knowledge
thing. But what's TikTok?
Thing.
Oh, the Daily Mail.
So Quizmaster on TikTok has put this on saying that anyone...
What's the Daily Mail got to do with it?
Oh, because it was a news article on Daily Mail.
Oh, about the TikTok thing.
Yeah, it literally had everything going on in Israel, TikTok, Quizmaster right underneath. Like, my eye just immediately drew to that.
Fair enough. That is horrible.
So sorry. But the brain this morning just did not want
to... So it's people that are on TikTok.
Engaged.
Engaged
with that.
This morning.
It's questions for people that generally use TikTok. So it's not, they're not.
Well, no, I think, it's a TikTok Quizmaster that's gone on there and just said about the general knowledge.
That's my line in the sand.
But maybe
TikTok.
If you're on TikTok, it's just you don't.
No, there it is. And I've got a couple of mates who keep sending me links and stuff going, oh, have you seen this TikTok? No, I haven't. No, absolutely not. It's my line.
I have tried to make a profile, but every time I go on, it goes straight to the homepage or whatever. And it just shows you a random video. And I was like, I just feel like I've just been...
Just people with funny faces making it stream.
I just feel like I've just been harassed by this video.
You see that guy on TikTok? I mean, I don't want to start going on about people that are just stupid that use Instagram. But the guy whose his girlfriend and new unborn baby died because they were doing a video and he watched the whole thing. He locked her out on the porch in Russia as a joke. And then he's like on the camera, come back to the camera. Locked her out. And then he went out together and she died and he had to come back in. So he started crying on camera and he had to call the fucking police and everything. They turned up.
Oh my God.
And they died.
Because he thought it was freeze funny.
Only for a few minutes, but she got hypothermia. Like locked on the porch as a joke. And like the police come, the camera's still going. Police turn up and he got done for it.
There are some live broadcast dudes who do sort of live, they walk around and they live stream. They actually brought in a law in Japan about this one particular guy who was such a nuisance in Tokyo.
Oh, right.
He was one of these guys who has a speech to text thing and the speaker.
Yeah.
And so people can pop in a message, they pay money, pay a tenner or whatever, and then they can pop in a message and then it plays on the text to speech thing.
Yeah.
So of course everyone does racist and horrible, horrible stuff on it. So he's walking around saying all about Japanese people and black people and this and that, slavery and the Holocaust and whatever, and like Hiroshima, and you know, and he's just getting punched in the face like all the time. He would hang around in like these sort of touristy hotspots, just and being a nuisance as well, and like sort of and going, people would pay him, say, "Oh, hi, go up to this guy and like pull his tie or something, or go up to this guy and spit on his shoe."
What?
And like, he's like, "Cool, yeah, I'll do that." And like, yeah, and they literally brought in a specific law, or pretty much just for this guy to make it illegal for him to do this.
I think
this
that's
nonsense.
A good idea. It's gone crazy now with the TikTokers. They're just going around harassing
because they're in their own
the
world. They're in their own world. They don't understand they're part of a site in their head.
Yeah.
My little world is more important than anything.
Yeah.
There's a guy who nearly run over on the way here. He was on his phone and had headphones in. And I saw him coming. I saw him cut and I thought, I've got to keep an eye on this guy. I had to slop. And, oh, where am I? You're in the real world. Like, he's got things on and he was doing that. Crossing the road. You think as you cross the road, your brain would go, right, look around. But I remember the Chinese guy that fell off the side of the building. He's just even explaining it. His YouTube channel was going into dangerous places, hanging off and pulling himself up. And they got him on the security camera from the other. He was on the top of a skyscraper on the end and fell off.
There was
I don't know what you're doing.
There were these teenagers, bloody teenagers, down the petrol station, and they were literally like, this is me, Stevie B. We're just down the petrol station getting some petrol for our car. Woo! And they're like, no, I didn't like that. Okay. And they're like, okay, hey, this is Stevie B. Live and direct from the petrol station, just getting some unleaded,
content.
And they're like,
I mean, it's pretty impressive to make content out of getting petrol. I mean, I love the creativity around it. You know, who's going to watch that and go, yeah, this is great stuff. Like, I'm
this really speaks to me, my petrol buying
habits.
To
be fair, the way my brain was this morning, I'd probably be entertained by it.
But he did, honest to God, he did like 4 takes and then they were happy with the last one. And I honestly, I stopped and watched and I was like, God, just what? Who's,
think of
who's
your
watching
skill,
this?
Yeah.
I'm
like, who's, think of your skills like just falling away of a human being. Just like, what have you got left? If you had to get a job at 30 or 40, what are you going to do? I can't, I get looked at.
Yeah.
And all the things I should have learned, I've got nothing,
A funny thing happened this morning. Sorry, just came into my head.
Funny thing happened on the way to the studio.
To the studio. Yeah, so I was getting the replacement bus service down that Greater Angular. Yeah. So I had to literally leave my house at like 8:30.
When did you last get that? Was that last Sunday?
Last Sunday, it annoys me. But, so the guy in the bus driver, we were meant to go to a stop before our ending stop, and he got through to this little town, little station, and he'd obviously gone past the road to go down to the station. So he kind of pulled up and went to everybody on the bus, "Hey guys, does anybody know where the station is?" And I was like, "You're a bus driver, you should really know where the station is." And everyone was just like, you missed it. Yeah. You missed it. You may as well just carry on going. There was only one person on the bus that really needed to get off the station. And I could just see him on the whole way, just like fuming. And I felt so bad, but I'm not going to lie.
Suppose if it's your first day and you're a bit panicky, you forgot, should I have taken a left there, taken a right?
Yeah. I had to sit next to the guy once and direct him because he had no idea where he was going. And I was no, it's late. I was like, mate, 100% it's right, honest to God. You know.
But the whole time I was sitting on the bus and I could feel the energy that everyone was just really anxious that, like, is he gonna go the wrong way? You know, are we gonna make our destination?
Then you're on the M25 gonna say something to him.
I wonder.
4 out of the dark, it's got dark.
And we all got there and we were just like this like collective sigh of like
half for him as well as you.
Okay. Last night bus out of Reading. And it, about whatever, 12:30. So it's last thing. No, last chance to get home. Night bus. Dude pulled up and I said, "Oh, hi, you're right. You stop. Are you going to stop at my stop?" And he's like, "No, I don't want to."
Oh my God.
I was like, "Well, it's scheduled to stop there. Yeah. This is the last bus." And he's just went, and he said, "Twat!" And he just drove off. And I was I was like, "What?" And then like I was like, "Oh my, what do we do?" And like I was just stuck out in the car park and I was like, "Oh my God." So I ran back in, and this is like 12:30 at night. Yeah. So I ran back in and found someone. And I said, "Look, mate, I snitched." I was like, "I snitched because I was like, I'm snitching on this
dude. Broke Omerta."
I was like, "I don't like to snitch on people, but like, I was like, this dude, He called me a twat and drove off. Yeah. Unprompted.
I should say that.
Yeah. And like, he's like, which guy was it? And I described it. He goes, oh, that bloody guy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, right. Yeah. So there was about 30 of us and we had to get taxis. Mm. They had to wait and they paid for taxis for all of us to go back.
So it wasn't just you. There was a load of people.
Oh, it was about 20, 30 people. Yeah. Mm.
Jesus
Christ. And he just drove off. So he didn't want to do it. So screw it. I'm not doing it.
Maybe it's
way too much power for a bus driver. To do that.
I remember it's only about a year ago, I got a round of applause on a bus and I swear on my life, I nearly...
How have I not heard about this before?
No, because this is the thing, I nearly... Because my life does play out like a bloody film and I nearly texted it to you. There was something else happened the other day that I did text you.
A slow clap started, yeah. Jess.
No.
Someone passing you back said, you were right, Theo.
No. But I thought it was late and I was getting off at the next stop anyway because when my car was in the garage and I was there at night on the bus and I was going to text you and I thought, and this happened a couple of times, and it happened last week or something, where I was going to text you and Andrew and I didn't because I thought they're not going to believe me. So I purposely didn't text it, but I had to get off the next stop. I was like,
if
it's
only
not
there was a
it.
TikToker filming you. That would have been great.
No, but some people got on the bus and they were arguing with the driver. It wasn't one of these big buses, you know, like hopper buses were like 50 people at most. And they got on and they were trying to say, it was like, I've drunk or on drugs. And one of these was two other people. And, oh, come on, mate, can you just give me a lift just to the one stop? Blah, 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 blah. And he said, I'm not giving you a lift for free. You've got to pay. Oh, come on. And it went on and it went on. And about 2 minutes, I had to scream something at him because I was getting effed off. So I said, I'm not going to repeat what I said. And then he sort of like gave me a dirty look and got off. And then everyone gave me a little round of applause. I was like, I don't care. You've got to tell him to. See, I'm getting annoyed now because he kept going, you're not getting on for free. Oh, come on, honestly, listen, I've got no money. My kids are sitting. Go, you're not getting on for free. It went on for about 60 seconds. I'm not kidding you. It's not like I just piped up. He kept saying, I'm not getting on. You're going to have to get off the bus. You get off. Yeah, but come on, mate. Oh, look, mate, come on. And he just wouldn't stop. And I'm thinking, so I just ended up shouting or something. I was right near him. And then everyone gave me a little round of applause. I thought, oh, that's quite nice. I was going to text you. I thought, no, because you won't believe me. But something happened last week and I didn't text you, but I can't remember what it was. Something up.
Oh, what a what an anecdote.
No, I remember what it was. I just remember what it was.
Train stories.
Train stories.
I was walking down the road and a guy came out the shop and he looked like something out of a car. He had this like bright flamingo pink t-shirt on and a wig. And I burst out laughing and I went, oh, come on. And I literally said that and I thought, because it's terrible and fantastic because the wig was clearly like jet black and it didn't fit anything and he just come out in front of me and the shock of him coming out, I laughed out loud and I went, oh,
was it a wig or like a toupee?
Oh yeah, no, like I don't know, whatever you call it, sits on
toupee.
Your head. It sat on top and a clear jet black.
I love that. I love
but
that.
But this pink flamingo shirt with like birds on it, and it just come out in front of me, and it didn't suit the environment. I just went, I laughed out loud. He didn't seem that bothered. I went, oh, come
I bet
on.
He gets on a lot. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe he just does that just to brighten everyone.
No, you know what?
So
it's beautiful because he just was not bothered. He wasn't trying to show off. Really, he wasn't filming himself.
Come on, imagine what teenagers say to him. Damn teenager.
Yeah, because it was full. He'd fully gone in for it. It wasn't like he wasn't joking. He just, that's what I look like.
Well, well done to him. I love that.
You be you, I suppose.
Yeah,
I would love if everyone was just a bit weird, like everywhere you went out. Like in Total Recall, when he goes to the bar and everyone's slightly odd. Like you've got the chick with the three breasts and a guy with a eyeball in his head.
Have you been out in London lately? Yeah, have you been out in Soho? I mean, come on, man. Like,
exactly. I see just people step out of the studio.
Because I get it.
It's like the cantina from Star Wars, some of these pubs.
When I get it, it's usually about 9:30, I turn up just to get things set up or whatever. And I see people, but they've got like all the PVC big boots. And I think, are they on their way out or coming? Are they just coming back?
Yeah.
But surely not 9:30. 6:30? 7:00?
Probably coming back.
Not 9:30.
Yeah.
My mate said one of the funniest things I think, he's ever said to me, but like we were at the train station. It was like 10 in the morning. It was like 10 in the morning. And they had like three homeless people arguing, just drunk off their face, drinking special brew. Yeah. And he went, what time of day do you think they think it is? Is this late for them? Is this early? Is this afternoon? Like, is this what frame are they running on? Is this like, are they on their way out? Are they on their way back? I have no frame of reference for what these people
do. What a lovely life to lead. Hey, not know.
Gentlemen of the road.
I came out of an Asda a couple of weeks ago, and there was like two roads. One goes to the car park and one goes this direction. And as I walked in, there was like a homeless chick on right by Asda. And as I went out, I was going to go the other way, and I saw a young guy. I thought, oh, they've done a pincer movement. They're definitely the same age. I thought, oh, good on them. Like, they knew, you go there and I'll go here. I was like, well, you're thinking, like, you haven't lost all your foibles.
Strategizing.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have been that. I actually barred myself from Asda years ago. And I thought, right, I'll go there one more for this.
Political reasons.
Did you go into Asda and then go, and just talking to yourself? No, I banned myself from this
specific test. No, I.
And then walk right back.
Because I'd already had a fight in the car park. And then I went there one day and I walked in and it had a sign up on the window that had like been printed out. And it said, if you come into Asda, please make sure you have shoes on. Or please.
Oh, please tell me you're wearing shoes.
No, not shoes. Please. What's the word? Refrain? From coming in barefoot. It was something about you have to have footwear on or something like that. I thought, if you've had to put that sign up, that's not like one person's done it. How many people have? And it was the same thing. I'd had a punch up in the car park. And I thought, right, that was nothing. It wasn't my fault. But it definitely wasn't. I tried to go around the fight and I got pulled into it. But anyway, I thought, right, I'm never going in Asda again.
You're like an asteroid.
How far
an asteroid.
Around the fight did
yeah.
you go?
I'm not going into it.
Shot into the.
Yeah, it's like a moon land. Like the gravitational.
Yeah. You sort of got sucked. You're like, oh no, I'll get dragged in.
Yeah. And then I saw that sign. I thought, that's it. I'm not coming in. I should not be in an Asda. And then I went in since. I thought, oh God.
It's more of an American thing. You see that a bit more in America. No shoes, no shirt, no service.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, really? Jesus Christ. They're now clamping down on the, because all the stores are shutting down in America, aren't they? Because of that. We won't arrest you for theft thing that they've had been going on, but in Florida
they do that in this country.
They've started doing it.
I've got friends and they're told
when you see the videos of it, people just going in, say, right, don't touch them, and they just pull stuff off the shelves and just go back.
There's no arrest for
in Los Angeles.
What?
Yeah, exactly. But they said up to I think it started off at £250. It's not worth going to court, calling the police. We haven't got enough people. Yeah.
They might as well just be a sign outside and be like, come on in, take what you want.
So people, you just go in on bicycles and just grabbing things and then going out and people just stood there.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? It's not your store. It's a chain of shops. But a lot of these big chains are closing down now because people are just stealing up to like $250 worth.
Yeah.
Just going out. As nuts as it sounds, that's actually what they were doing. Mm. And then they've started to do it in England.
Yeah,
we're just going to have up to like £100 or whatever. There's no point.
Yeah. Yeah.
The police won't come out. Yeah. They won't come out. If it's under like 150 or £200 or whatever, a set number, they won't come out.
Yeah.
And because people are being assaulted as well, the big stores are saying, look, if somebody's nicking, because you could say, well, if it's like £5, but then they just nick up to £5. But they're saying, no, the police is no point. Don't call us for £100. So the stores, so the people know that now.
Mm.
So they think, well, why grab them?
Yeah.
Because they know that you're not going to do anything because the police. But then that's it, you're done.
It's just chaos.
Yeah. So you can't, no, you can't. You have to call everybody out every time. Mm. But that's a government policing policy. But if you just say, no, the police aren't there, they are actually dealing with robberies, like full-on robberies, then it's just not there. So what do you do?
I got a friend who works in a high street fashion store, and he said he said you get this all the time. He said one day someone will come in, they'll take all the tags off.
Yeah,
they'll come in and cut all the tags off. Mm. You know, the security things, beep 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 beep. Yeah. You know them, and then next day someone will come in and then just stick them all in a bag and just walk out. And he said, we get the same guys. They do it every.
Yeah.
They see the cycle through, and you get them like every month or 6 weeks. Or whatever,
yeah,
you know, and they go through all the shops one by one.
It's the smaller shops I feel bad for, like, because you can't suck up like people's shop, you know, the little store, corner stores. Mm. You can't suck that sort of thing up.
I mean, I used to feel bad, you know, like Woolworths. when he used to kind of steal the pick and mix.
Because what you don't realise, there's 1,000 other kids thinking they're the only ones doing it as well.
But then I got my payback when I would get ill because all the all the dirty hands that go into those pick and mix, and then I'd get really ill the next day. But like, you know, that's...
So it was you that closed all was it? Yeah. There's a million kids. Because that's what you don't realise. Everyone's doing it. So there's no... We haven't sold any sweets this year. I just told one.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Can you still get posters? Do you remember in Woolworths, you'd have like the thing with posters? And you just do you still get posters? People buy posters?
I don't know. I don't... Do we?
I'm nearly 40.
Do people buy posters? No, people don't get like... Take that and put it up on your wall.
Oh, I really wish they did.
I wonder, do kids, what do they put on their walls? Do they, nothing. Just
what do kids like today?
Because really, it's a type of stimulation, isn't it? But if you've just got a thing, then there's no point putting something to look up on your wall. That's sad, isn't it?
My whole walls were just covered in posters.
Who was on there?
It was Buffy. It was Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Right, okay.
And Britney.
Oh, right.
And maybe a few little bands there. Here and there, but it was mainly them.
Do you see there's something about Britney and knives? Do you see it?
Oh, yeah, but apparently she said they were fake. She said they were fake knives.
But I looked at it, I thought, has she got mental health problems?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, yeah, not a joke. She looks like that.
They're actually, like the amount of drugs that she's been given over the years has severely messed with her brain. Yeah. And it's cruel.
Sad.
I'm a massive Britney fan, and I've had to unfollow her on Instagram because it's just so upsetting just to see someone that was so in their prime and so amazing and talented.
I mean, you think just the fame would be big enough to get through, but then you start adding like, when you're doing like touring and that, like Elvis, it becomes uppers and downers. I need something to get me to sleep, I need something to go. And then all that chemicals years.
She was so controlled. Yeah. It was so controlled. And the medication and everything, like, her mind is like mush now because
what about family? Does she have family and things?
Yeah, she still talks to her family, I think. Right. I don't think she has much relationship. No, she's going through a divorce now.
Oh, God.
She got married again and she got divorced. Married
Who
again.
Was she? Anybody like...
Sam... Oh, God.
Is it a pop star?
No, I think he's a model. He was a model.
Oh, Jesus.
And, everyone was kind of questioning it when they got together. But he's got divorced now because... if he got divorced after the 2 years, he would have got a settlement. But he got divorced before, so he's not getting any money. He's not getting any money from it. So there were reports that she was attacking him and all this. And so I don't know. I wasn't a massive fan of him.
She's not broke or anything.
She's not broke.
So it's one of those ones because she was a kid. Everyone was stealing the money, sort of thing.
But I mean, I think her family definitely were.
Oh, were they?
Definitely were. Yeah. But she got out of her conservatorship.
I remember that now.
So funny. I know all of that. And I was silent for the first part of this podcast.
Britney and knives brought you. I saw the colour come back into your cheeks.
That was the first time.
This is where I shine.
This is where the first time I heard like a conservatorship. Obviously, I live a very sheltered life. And like, I was like, wait, what is this? What? And I was like, they sort of had it explained. And I was like, that doesn't seem like...
And it was her dad that was in control of it. And you just like... I never trust him. I never trusted him.
I tell you, I knew a guy.
I never liked the man anyway.
I've never trusted him.
I spoke to somebody
man.
Over here and he's telling me about kids in America. And this was, God, he told me about 15 years ago. I'm sure I brought it up. And he said the kid actors in America, they have to, they were being given acting lessons because they were just doing film. The adverts start to pay off with TV, and they said the kids start to move into a TV acting, which they didn't before. And he said the kids had to be given acting classes into how to look like a kid on camera because they didn't know how to naturally play with toys.
Because they
just hadn't done it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to be silly and stupid and giggly where the money was going for advertising because they'd just been actors. Like you said, like about 5 years old. Mm. They didn't know how to act with like toys. They didn't know what to do. I thought, what planet's that on? Like, that's a real thing that's happening.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything else on more light entertainment? Anything else going on?
Oh, I don't know.
So you're not here next week, are you? You're off to Amsterdam.
Yes.
Oh, okay. How long, I've asked you this, how long were you there? 4 days?
5 days.
5. Mm. So when are you back? You're back the week after.
Yeah, back on the Friday, I think.
What time do you leave? What time do you go out there?
For some reason, I'm an absolute idiot. For some reason, I booked like an 8 o'clock flight. And I was like...
Flight?
And I'm like, why did I do it on Sunday morning as well? And I was like, why the hell did I do that? Because I could have booked one at like 11.
Mm. Did you go over in a hovercraft or something? I don't know. I don't go overseas. you go through France?
No, it's getting a flight.
Oh, right. I thought you were doing a direct. Like a road trip.
I have done. I have done the coach.
Yeah.
The coach takes about 10, 11, 12 hours.
Oh, okay.
And you do go down. You go down thingy. You go up through France. Stuff, yeah. And that's kind of fun. You go drive through Belgium.
Oh, I thought that's what you did anyway. I didn't know you were flying out of there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got a bit of money now. And
is it worth warming the engines up? As soon as you're up in the air, you've got to come down again.
It's 50 minutes. It's like 55 minutes.
Big roller coaster.
And in fact, if you land on the, there's a certain, I know this now, but if you land on the certain runway at Schiphol Airport, you can it spends like 20 minutes taxiing because it's so far out.
Right.
Like you could spend 20 minutes where you land and you have to spend about 15, 20 minutes like just driving to the terminal. And like you basically kind of land out near Harlem. Like it's like the next town over almost. And like you have to just drive through and the thing. And it takes nearly as almost like half the journey.
Right. Just
half the time in the air, you'll just spend like just pottering around on the tarmac.
It's spend more so time weird. At the vending machine than it is in the
so
airplane.
It's so weird. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Are the flights still cheap?
I was thinking the old days I used to get the coach and it used to be £35 return,
It's a lot of drama. God.
I went to Manchester during COVID and I got on the coach and it cost me £2.50 to get to Manchester. And then I paid for a hotel room, it cost me £30. And then £2.50 on the way home. It was the cheapest night out I've ever had. Yeah. I mean, it was 5 hours on the coach, but it was quite fun. I made
what time? Where do you fly from?
Gatwick.
And what time do you leave your house then?
I'm going to have to get a lift and it's going to be like 4:30 start. I'm such an idiot.
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
What day? Sunday?
5 o'clock,
at least I haven't got the traffic. And what time, if you left at 4, what time would you land in Holland or in Amsterdam?
It leaves at 8. The flight leaves at 8 and I get in at 10:30.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not 11. Too bad.
Like course
oh, it's a 50-minute flight. I was thinking...
No, and also there's an hour difference.
Oh, okay.
Because they're an hour ahead.
So. Oh, an hour already? Just that far? It's an hour?
Huh?
I wouldn't have thought the time difference would be that big.
Because we have British Standard Time and they don't. So.
Oh, the timing's...
Yeah, yeah, it's just about clocks and stuff. So, yeah, they're an hour.
Right.
Well, I'm definitely up for us doing a team trip to Amsterdam.
Where'd you go from Gatwick?
All right, you heard it here first.
So Gatwick's below. So you're having to go past Heathrow to get to Gatwick.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, it's a hell of a journey from Reading.
Yeah.
What was in your head when you were booking it? You were just like, yeah.
I thought 20 quid off.
This is such a good idea.
It's a 20 quid off flight, but it's 400 quid to get to the airport.
So I thought I'll get in.
And 4 coffees at £3 a pop.
Well, I thought I'll get in and like, I thought, oh, well, that means I could be in, I'll be in Central by about midday. And I thought, oh yeah, I still get the day. And I could have done it like an hour or two later and it would have been so much easier.
And can you actually get there for that time if you're leaving at 4? Because where are you? Oh, you said you're getting a lift down there.
I had to get a lift.
Bloody, how many miles is that? About 50 miles.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
At that time in the morning?
It's about an hour and a half.
Who's giving you a lift there?
My mum.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, love
always
that.
About yeah, it. Bless. She's but retired like, now,
why
so.
Why did you go to Heathrow? You idiot.
Make sure you come back with some stories then. Watch everything that's happening.
Do something fun. Not a nice story.
I don't want it just a big blur.
Of course it's going to be.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know. Okay. You know,
I'll do my best.
Not safe for work, really. I'm not getting up to you out there.
Right, okay. Well, that's it. We'll have a good time anyway, Charlotte. Yeah. And so we'll see you next week for some more interviews. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye. Here's your story. Let's begin. The world is fine. Come on, dive in. The future's here. It's right before your eyes. Step by step, you're on your way. You're welcome to a brighter day. Don't you know it feels good to be alive? You could be larger than life.